Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur toward the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, seven lines from the top. You'll notice a double dots, and on the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, you'll notice that we have written Machloikis, Rav Kahana, Rav Sheshes. We will see in our Gemara a controversy between these two Amoroyim. Beshitas Chachomim b'Mishnah. Their argument is within the opinion of the Chachomim in, that we saw in the Mishnah, She'oisrim loseis shmorim l'mishameres b'Shabbos. The Chachomim forbade placing shmorim, or the grape remains after grapes have been pressed. One is not allowed to place them into a mishameres. A mishameres is a type of sifter or screen type device that if you put the shmorim into it, so the liquid will ooze forth from the shmorim and into the receptacle vessel underneath. The Gemara. V'ein noisnin l'tluya b'Shabbos. This is Shitas HaChachomim, that you're not allowed to place the Shmorim into a suspended Mishameres on Shabbos. Mishameres, we may be more accurate when you're dealing with liquids, you would say a strainer. So this would not be allowed. Ibaya laho shimer mai. According to the Chachomim, the question is, what's the din if a person does put the shmorim in this mishameres, this screen device? Omar Rav Kahana, shimer chayev chatos. Rav Kahana says, well, if one does that, according to the Chachomim, he is in violation of a Torah-level prohibition, and therefore, if he does so unwittingly, he would be chayev to bring, he'd be obligated to bring a sin offering. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes challenges Rav Kahana, and he says, Mi iko midi, is there anything? De Rabbonon, Rabbonon means according to the opinion of the Rabbonon, Mechayvi chatos, ve Rabbi Eliezer, shori lechatchila. We know that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah says you're allowed to put shmorim in a pre-suspended screen device, mishameres. How could it be, Rav Sheshes asks, that you have such a polar controversy? Once again, knowing that Rabbi Eliezer allows putting the shmorim into the strainer on Shabbos, how could it be that the Chachamim would say that it's a Torah-level violation? In other words, what Rav Sheshes is trying to say is that knowing that Rabbi Eliezer allows as a lechatchila choice, as a first choice, to put the shmorim in the strainer on Shabbos, the Chachamim, if they forbid, which they do, they would forbid on a rabbinic level. Now, we have a very nice marking system for this piece of Gemara. You'll notice an angular brackets, and the bracket length indicator appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a dotted line that extends downwards, and at the end of this dotted line, you'll find the closing of these angular brackets. Now, you'll ask, what is the role of these brackets? So we have a note on the side by the star in the margin, and we've written matras sograim elu. The purpose of these brackets, eino l'shem dilug. It's not in order to skip, as we often do when we use brackets in our Gemara markings. But we're not. That's not the point of these brackets. Elo laharos. The point here is to show the ad kan mistayim dvorav shel Rav Sheshes. The point Rav Sheshes wants to make ends right here. The ikur hadiyun and the main discussion also ends right here. In other words, you've got Rav Kahana explaining answering the question, what if one does do the shimer, meaning what if one does place the shmorim in the suspended strainers? Rav Kahana said chayev chatas. Rav Sheshes says it's not likely. Rather, it must be, it's an isur derabbanan. The ad sof hasograim nish'ar hatkofas Rav Sheshes al Rav Kahana. We want to point out that until the end, when you get to the end of these angular brackets, this attack of Rav Sheshes remains as it is. So the basic sukya or discussion is very short. Rav Kahana said chayev chatos. Rav Sheshes disagrees. That's the end of the story. Now, besocham, within the brackets, Hagemora menaseh avolelo hatzlocha litchois kushus Rav Sheshes. The Gemara will attempt in these brackets to reject Rav Sheshes' question, but the Gemara's attempt to reject the question will fall away, and leaving Rav Sheshes' question in place. That's why we've marked the Gemara as we have. That having been said, we now continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on Rav Sheshes, and note that this is a long question. We have the long question marking to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Rav Sheshes asks, Aloma lo. Why not? In other words, if Rav Kahana says, Chayev Chatos, why is there no room for Rav Sheshes? The Chachomim in the Mishnah are saying, like Rav Kahana says, Chayev Chatos, that's reasonable. It's okay. There's precedent for this extreme type machlokas. In other words, Rav Sheshes' objection that you don't find such polar controversy, that's not true. Why do you say that that can't be? Hare Ir Shel Zahav, the case involving the Ir Shel Zahav. Ir Shel Zahav, it was a golden ornament, a piece of jewelry, very expensive piece of jewelry. It had the shape of Yerushalayim. That's where the ear is, the city of Yerushalayim. It was a very expensive golden piece of jewelry. The Reb Meir Mechayev Chatos, Rabbi Elezer Shori Lechatchila. Here you have a polar machlokas. Rabbi Meir says that a woman who wears that out on Shabbos from her house to the public domain will be in violation of a Torah prohibition, and hence she would be chayev to bring a sin offering. And Rabbi Eliezer says it's quite all right for her to wear it outside. At this point, we find another bracketed section. The brackets here, called circular type brackets, is explained on the side of the Gemara. Matras sograyim elu, these curlicue brackets, l'shem dilug, they are for skipping. Kedei lagia miyad l'tshuva l'sheilas Rav Yosef. By skipping these brackets, we'll get to the answer to Rav Yosef's question immediately. B'soicha muva divrei reka. Within the brackets, background information will be provided. Hamoker shel ir shel zahav shebo chokin bein hayeser Rabbi Meir veRabbi Eliezer, within the brackets. So the Gemara will present the different deos, the different opinions of the Tanoim, including Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer that we just cited. So let's skip them for a minute. The question had been Rav Yosef's attack on Rav Sheshes is very simply: we do find a polar machlokes, as we find Rav Meir and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, skipping the brackets momentarily, Omar Le Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Mi Savris Rabbi Eliezer ad Rabbi Meir koi domar chayev chatos, who says that Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that it's mutter lechatchila, who says that he is a response to Rabbi Meir, which would have been a polar machlokes? Not true. Ah, derabbanan koi, Rabbi Eliezer, who says mutter lechatchila, is a response to another opinion that we haven't seen yet, the Rabbanan's opinion on the Ir Shel Zav, the Amri Poter Avul Oser. They say that a woman ought best not to wear it out, but if she does, it's not a Torah violation, it's a rabbinic violation. V'yomar lehu, ihu, Rabbi Eliezer responds to them who said it's only a rabbinic violation, and says, and I say, he says, I hold mutter lechatchila. So that the case of Ir Shel Zav is not a good example of a polar machlokis. Hence, Rav Yosef's objection falls away, leaving Rav Sheshis's point intact, that we don't find polar controversies. Now, let's go over the bracketed section. After Rav Yosef wanted to challenge Rav Sheshis by saying, hey, we do find a polar machlokes, so it could very well be that, like Rav Kahana said in our Mishnah, that one who puts the Shmorim in the Mishameres, according to the Chumah, would be Chayev Chatas, while Rabbi Eliezer would have been telling you that it's Mutter Lechatchila. So, the Gemara in the brackets, Mahi, what is the case of the Ir Shel Zahav? The Sanya, the Tanaic source, says, Lo Seitse Isha Beir Shel Zav, a woman should not wear as one of her pieces of jewelry an Ir Shel Zav from her, wear it out from her house to the street, Vim Yotza, and if she does, if she goes out with it, Chayeves Chatos Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rachachomim Omrim, Lo Seitse, Vim Yotza Ptura. The Chomim say she should not wear it out, but if she does, she is, she is not guilty of exempt from bringing a chatos because she has not violated anything on a Torah level. It's a rabbinic prohibition. And Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yoitza Isha Beir Shel Zav Lechatchila. She is entitled as a first choice to wear the Ir Shel Zav outside. What do we see in this source? So if we focus on the dashed underlines alone, you've got Rabbi Meir holding Chayev Chatos, and Rabbi Lozer saying Yoitza Lechatchila, a polar machlokes. Omar Le Abaye, Mi Savris Rabbi Eliezer, Ader Rabbi Meir, Koi Diomar Chayev Es Chatos. Who says that Rabbi Eliezer is a reaction to Rabbi Meir, who said Chayev Chatos, which would have made a polar machlokes. Ah, de rabbonan koi, rather, Rabbi Eliezer, who is very lenient, is a response to a moderate shita. The rabbonan di amri, they said, poter avol oser. The omar lehu ihu, and Rabbi Eliezer responded to them and said, muter lechatchila. So that, as Rav Sheshis claimed earlier, we don't find polar controversy in Mishnayos. Therefore, Rav Sheshis's point remains, and that if you were to ask what is the Shitas Chachomim of putting Shmorim in the Mishameres, so knowing that Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah said it's Mutter Lechatchila, the Rabbonin who object would be objecting on a rabbinic basis alone. The Gemara asks a new question. Mishum Mai Masrinon Bei. The topic heading that we have for this is, in fact, this question. And on the side, you can see Mishamer, Mishumai Masrino Bei. Masrino means warning. Before one can impose a punishment on an individual, a human-based punishment, a court punishment, there must be a warning to the offender. And when you make a warning, you have to be fairly specific in the content of your warning. It wouldn't be sufficient simply to say that, hey, you're about to violate Shabbos, to say that to the offender. You'd have to be more specific and say what malocha is involved. So there are two possibilities. One is borer. Borer is the malacha where one separates the undesirable from the desirable, the food substance from the shells and the peels. And merakeid is also a very similar type malacha. It has merakeid is sifting. So the Gemara. We should point out also that we will have a double underline marking that appears very shortly, and that will be explained when we get to it. So the Gemara asks, Mishum Mai Masrino Bei, what is the basis of the warning that we issue to the offender who's about to mishamer? Rabba Omar Mishum Borer. Rabba says that we warn him that he is about to violate Meleches Borer. And Rabbi Zera Omer Mishum Rakeid. And according to Rabbi Zera, we warn the offender that if you put the grape lees into the grape residue into the strainer, you will be in violation of Merakeid, sifting. And here you see Rabba, double underlined, and Rabbi Zera with their phrase Kavosi Didi Mistabra. Each one, Rabba and Rabbi Zera, will advance their own cases, explain their positions. Omar Rabba, Kavosi Didi Mistabra, my approach is most likely. Ma Darko Shaborer, what is the style or the nature of the malacha called Borer? No tel ochel, umeniach apsoles. You take the good, the food, and you leave behind the psoles. So if you would imagine for a moment someone cracked a lot of nuts, and there are a lot of shells there, so he would be pulling away from all the cracked shell, the cracked nuts, all the nut meat itself, leaving behind the psoles, the shells. So af hoch, and that would be a prohibition of borer. Af hocha nami no tail es ha'oichel. So too in our mishameres case, you are going to be taking the liquid that oozes forth from the shmorim umeniach es ha'psolas, and leaving behind the grape skins, the grape sediment. Omar Rabbi Zera kavosi didi mistabra. Mishamer is like merakeid, which I said is the malocha. Ma darko shamarakeid psoles milamala virchil milamato. What is the way of merakeid? The way it of doing that action is the what's characteristic of it is that the psoles, the debris, is above the ochel milamato. When you, let's say, sift flour from wheat debris, so you are in effect retaining above the debris, and the desirable part, the flour, falls to underneath the sifter. That's oichel milamato, that which you want. The oichel represents that which you want is below. Af hochonami, so too in the use of the strainer, psoles milamala, the oichel milamato. The debris remains above, and that which you want falls below. We continue in the Gemara. And the topic heading that we assign to this is Oyel Aroi, a structure that's not of a permanent nature. When we go through this Gemara, of course, we're not even going to be dealing with structures per se, but rather articles of clothing. Tani Romi Bar Yecheskel. Talis Kfula Lo Ye'oseh. Let's glance at Rashi. A few lines below, in the narrow lines. Talis Kfula Lo Ye'oseh. L'shtoach taliso agabi arbi yisedos, to spread out one's talis. Talis is a garment. It would be very similar in terms of this sukkah as what we wear as what for davening. In English, people refer to it as the prayer shawl. The talis would be forbidden to spread out al gabi arbi yisedos on four poles. Lishon tachtel, Rashi says, why would one do that? Because he wants to use it, create a canopy to sleep underneath it. The roshov miskaplin lekan ulekan, the edges of the talis fold over, drape down to the sides, litzad horetz, groundwards. Vavio le liksolim lehogein min hachamo, dehave ohala. The talus, after you, assuming that it's a fairly large talus, when you put it on the four poles and allow it to drape down the sides, you've created a protection area, in effect a roof and sides. Well, doing something like that, creating a sides and a roof, is a problem known as bone. But here you're dealing with something that's very temporary in nature. So this source tells us if one did it on Shabbos, he also poter avolosur. He's exempt from bringing a sin offering, but nevertheless it's forbidden to do at the outset. Hoya koruch oleha chut o mishicha. If on Friday there was some type of string attached and it was already placed on the poles, so you have to imagine this talus setup was placed on the poles. The talus was kind of rolled up though, but it was placed over the poles on partially covered from Friday, and there was a string that was attached to the edge, and you could simply draw the string and end up covering the whole area. So if it was set up like that, then muter lintoisu lechatchila, then you can continue spreading it out completely on Shabbos itself. So that if we look at Rashi on the end of the narrow lines, korach aleho mibaod yom chut o meshicha, if you had attached to this talus a string or cord, v'nosno al hanes, and it had been placed on the poles, she'al hakinuf kishihi mechupeles, the korach, it's like rolled up or folded up when you place it there on Friday, the korach lechut lemoshcha bo leforso lekan ulekan, and you attached this string to draw it in both directions, muter lemoshcha bo b'Shabbos, you can then draw it open on Shabbos, the moisif al oil aroihu, that's called adding to a temporary structure, the eno ka'oisel lechatchil, it's not like making it out the outset. The Gemara continues. Bomine Rav Kana me Rav. In the next few lines, we're going to see a number of triangles, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've written Shuvoisov Shel Rav, Binyan Prisas Kilo Mita. We're going to see Rav's answers, responses to questions regarding the setting up of a bed canopy and a bed. Chuvos shenir os sosros zu ezu. The answers that he gives appear to be contradictory one to the other. Now the Gemara. Rav Kana asks of Rav, Bomine Rav Kana, Rav Kilo Mahu, what is the din regarding the setting up of a bed canopy? Omarle af mito asura. Says even setting up the bed is forbidden. Another question: Mitomahu, what is the din regarding setting up a bed on Shabbos? Amale af kila muteris. He says even the canopy is allowed. Well, that is a direct contradiction to what we saw just before. So now he sort of boxes Rav in the corner and says, Amale kila umita mahu. What is the din regarding a canopy and a bed? Amalei, so Rav answers, Kilo asura umito muteres. Well, that also contradicts that which was said before. So, what do we make of all this? Velo kashya, in fact, there is no contradiction. Ha dekomar af mito asura, that which Rav said that a bed, setting up a bed is forbidden, Ke de Karmanoi, like the Karmanoi beds. Those were beds that basically came apart. The legs came off the frame, and it was a portable reassemble bed that one should not put together on Shabbos. This was a bed that was used by travelers with the ease of portability, but not to be put together on Shabbos. Hode ka'omar le af kilo muteres, the comment that Rav made that the bed canopy would be allowed, kida Romi bar Yecheskel, if you set it up like the source we saw above that was introduced by Romi bar Yecheskel, namely the canopy had been rolled up but had cords attached to it, and it was placed over the bed on from Friday, and on all you had to do on Shabbos is simply draw on the string extending the canopy. Kilo asuro mutu muteres, the case or the answer that he gave that canopy is forbidden, bed is allowed, that's kididon, like ours. So that would be the initial setting up of a bed canopy would be forbidden. The bed is not a disassembled bed that you have to put together, but rather it's like our beds, a regular bed that happened to have been stood up on its side. So you're allowed to lower the bed on it in its horizontal fashion on Shabbos. After it had been standing erect, you can put it down to standing up on its legs. That is what is allowed. You might ask, well, isn't that so obvious? Well, it is. It's fairly obvious, but whereas you didn't have the bed, in effect, is something that is like a roof vis-a-vis the floor. It's something that is on legs, and it stands above the floor. And hence, you might have thought that maybe there's a problem in doing that. So we're telling you here that there's no problem in simply taking a bed that was stood upright and to lay it on the floor in its regular horizontal position. Omar Rav Yosef, Chazina Luhu Lekili Debei Rav Huna. I notice the kili or the kilo, the bed canopies of Rav Huna, the Meurta Nagidu. On the at night, they were spread out. They were open. Umitzafra Shabbos morning, chavita ramya. They were removed altogether from the bed and thrown on the floor. Now Rashi points out that just like they can be taken down. According to this approach, they can be taken down on Shabbos. That they could also be spread out on Shabbos. And Rashi says, you can see we've dashed underlined the second line from the bottom of the Rashi, Alma mutu leforka, v'achinami mutu lintoisa. The Gemara here is, in presenting this story, is giving us not being very explicit, other than giving us the impression that Rav Huna was very lenient with regard to the spreading out of a bed canopy. There are other sugyas in the Shas, you find them in Maseches Sukkah, as well as, and this Gemara as well, with a great, much more detail with regard to the bed canopies, but in our Daf Yomi context, we're just going to leave you with the presentation as it is in this Gemara. Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the Botai is explained as Shnei Halachos B'Shmoshel Rabbi Chia de Mutur Lintos. There are two halachos brought in the name of Rabbi Chia dealing with that which is allowed to be spread out or set up in this context. So Rav says in the name of Rabbi Chia, Vilon Mutur Lintoso U'Mutur Leforko. A vilon is a curtain. It's a curtain that might be in front of a window, in front of a doorway. It's mutter to set it up, and it's mutter to take it down. The reason for this is it's not a covering. It's made for, it doesn't have a, and as a result, it doesn't have a ohel classification to it. An ohel is only that which has, an ohel is that which represents the malach of boneh, and that exists only when there's some type of overhang. And hence the vilon, a curtain, doesn't have that characteristic, therefore there's no problem in setting it up nor taking it down. The Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Kilas Chasanim Mutur Lintoisa Umutur Leforka. Now, this is a type of bed canopy, but it's very unusual. It's called Kilas Chasanim, literally the canopy of newlyweds, or Chasan is a groom, someone who just got married. As far as we are concerned, it's a description of a very specific type of bed canopy, and we can say that it has, basically, it's a triangular in shape, meaning it has at the there are two poles that extend from the both ends of the bed, that extend from the middle of the head and middle of the legs of the bed, and there's a crossbar and a piece of material, a sheet or netting, whatever is placed, the canopy material is placed over that, draping down in an angular fashion, as opposed to four poles at each corner of the bed, which would create a roof. This is not like the standard kila, and rather it's as we described, the two poles with a crossbar over which the canopy is draped. So this kind of kila is mutter to set it up and mutter to take down. My personal doubt in this Gemara is regarding the story we saw four lines from the bottom regarding the canopies of Rav Huna, that the Gemara there said that it's mutter to put them up and mutter to take it down. Was that a reference to a Kilas Chasanim, or was it not? From the context of the Gemara, it would seem that it was a regular canopy, and if that were the case, so then Rav Huna was really saying something that's quite a leniency. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi. You notice the diamond features Maimros, and we have this under our Mivneh heading on the side. Maimros Shel Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi. In addition to that, we're going to have a double underline now, and under our introduction on the side, under the Mivneh, the expression Lo Amoron Elo is that which we highlight. Hagbolois Beheter Deliel Beprisas Kilas Achasanim. These are qualifications of the heter we just mentioned with regard to the Kilas Chasanim. So as we go through the next few lines, even though we read at the top where we dashed underline Mutur Lintois and Mutur Leforka, we have to say, let's see under what conditions this will be allowed. So Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi tells us on the second line from the top, Lo Amoran Elo She'ein Begago Tefach. The permission of setting up the Kilas Chasanim is if there is it's a very sharp angle at the very top. In other words, there's no width at the top of a tefach. Aval yesh begago tefach asura. If at the top of this kilas chasanim there is a width of a hand breadth of a tefach, then it would be usur to set it up on Shabbos, because a gag in halacha is that which is a tefach in width. Continuing, v'chi ein begago tefach nami lo amoran elo, and even if it doesn't have a tefach in width, the permission is not stated unless elo she'ein bepochos mishlosha somuch legago tefach, that within three tvachim of the roof, of the top, as you measure from the very top downwards, three tvachim, you notice that the kila does not extend to one tefach in width. Avol yesh bepochos mishlosha somuch legago tefach oser. If within three tefachim of descent, the kila reaches a spread, a width of one tefach, it will also be oser. So you're dealing with a very sharp angle. V'lo amor elo shein b'shipua tefach. Now, this line, Rashi has an explanation. We'll use the Rashi explanation, but bearing in mind that Tosfos finds Rashi's explanation very difficult on a practical level, and he offers a totally different approach. But we're learning our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, primarily based on Rashi. Therefore, we're going to use Rashi's explanation for this line, and that is that the when you get to the bed surface, the the bottom of, when you get to the canopy, as the canopy descends and it reaches the bed level, now there are legs to this bed as well, but for the meantime we're at the bed level, the mattress level if you will, the entire bed measures no more, it measures less than 2 tefachim in width. So as Rashi says, this Kilas Hasanim is not meant even for sleeping underneath it. It's some type of we'll say ornamental structure that one has in his house, but it's not meant for sleeping, because we're talking right now about a bed whose width is less than 2 handbreadths. That's a very, very narrow, it's a type of bed. So the heter of Kilas Chasanim is provided that when you get to the bed, the Ein Shibishipua Tefach means that the from the middle of the Kila till the edge of the bed, it doesn't slant more than a Tefach from the middle. So if you're dealing with the middle point, 1 Tefach, the entire width of the bed is going to be less than 2 Tefachim. Avol Yesh Bishipua Tefach, if the slant of this canopy is a tefach, shipui oyholim ke oyholim domu, the slant of structures is like a roof itself. So that the fact that it slants from the middle to the edge, 1 tefach, you would imagine that as if that were the roof. And we said before that a gag of a tefach is prohibited. V'lo amaron ela d'lo nochis mipurya tefach, and even with a very narrow bed, less than 2 tefachim, we will say that it's not allowed unless the fabric that constitutes the canopy does not extend below the bed surface of 1 tefach. Avol nochis mipurya tefach, if it extends below the bed level 1 tefach, osur, that too will be prohibited, because what you are doing then is making the canopy is then forming a wall below the bed level of 1 tefach. And that having been done, the bed would be the roof, the bed level would be the roof, and the fabric extending below the bed level of 1 tefach would be the walls. And that is forbidden to do on Shabbos. The Omer of Sheshes Brei Derav Idi. Here, the topic heading on the side under our Nosei, we've written Kova, we're going to talk about a hat, Im Shulayim Rechavim B'Shabbos, a hat with a wide brim, will be the focus of the discussion. So Rav Sheshes Brei Derav Idi says, Hi, Siano Shori. Siano is a hat, Rashi says, a hat made of felt. In the term Rashi uses is levet. Levet is felt. The Gemara asks, "V'hayitmar siyana osur?" But has it not been said that the siyana is prohibited? Lo kasha. There is no contradiction here. Ha de is beitevach. Ha de les beitevach. The one that will be prohibited is if it has a brim of a tefach. The extension beyond the person's head of a tefach gives the impression of a gag, of a roof, that which goes across. So the brim of a tefach gives that impression, and as we saw before, the iser would then be an iser of oihel. The Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, if you're going to say that a hat with a brim of a tefach constitutes an oihel, then sharviv beglimo tefach hochinami demechayev, if a person while putting on his garment, the garment extends beyond him as he's, let's say, draping himself with a cloak, or flinging his shirt over his body, and it extends beyond him by a tefach. Are you going to say that he is chayav? He's in violation of Shabbos just because the fabric extended beyond him a distance of a tefach? So that's obviously unreasonable. Ela lo kashya. We have to go back to the issue of the hat. We have 2 rulings concerning the siyano. He says lo kashya ha de mahadik ha de lo mahadik. There are There's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos of how to explain this. According to Rashi, the issue is not ohel whatsoever, but rather it's a question of mahadik mean would mean a tight fit on the head. The fear being that the wind blowing would blow off a hat, and if you find yourself in the street, you'll end up carrying the hat a distance of 4 amos or more on Shabbos, which would be a Shabbos violation. However, if it's tight-fitting, so we're not worried about the wind blowing it off. The ruling of the Siyama being Osir is if it were not a tight fit. Tosfos has a quotes to Rabbeinu Chananel and says, Mahadik is a hard material that doesn't drape over. So, according to the Rach, he continues with the Ohel idea, that if you have a wide-brimmed hat with the brim measuring a tefach and it's firm, so it remains extended outwards like a roof. That would be prohibited. If it's soft or material that folds in, that doesn't constitute any ohel problem. Sholach le, the Gemara continues, Sholach le Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Huna. Rami sends to Rav Huna the following message, Eima lon izi hanoch mili me'al yisah, De Amris Lon Mishmei De Rav. Would you kindly tell us things that were you said to us in the name of Rav? Tarti b'Shabbos v'chada b'tura. 2 points that you said in the name of Rav regarding Shabbos, and one regarding the Torah. Sholach le. So Rav Huna sends the following, Ha de Sanya. And before we go further, let's expose ourselves to the markings. On the side under our Mivneh heading, you see a house form. The house are 2 Inyone Shabbos and 1 Inyan Torah. So if you go down the page, you can see 3 house forms that highlight 2 messages concerning Shabbos and 1 concerning Torah. And the diamond highlights Rav's name, as we saw. The request was to for Rav Huna to send words in the name of Rav. So the source begins, Ha desanya good bekisna muter lintoisa b'Shabbos. This is a an item that we've seen before. The good is a type of skin bottle that. The kisna, it has straps attached to it, and it's set up on poles. And here we're talking, of course, on Shabbos, so he says it's mutter to set up this skin bottle with its straps attached to poles on Shabbos. As we've just been learning in today's shiur, the whole issue of setting up things on poles, where you have something suspended from above, gets involved with the general realm of ohel construction. So therefore, when things are mutter, it's important to say that it's mutter. So setting up this leather skin bottle on poles is mutter on Shabbos. Omar Rav, lo shanu elo b'shnei b'nei odom. The permission is only if 2 people are doing it. Rashi says that it won't be spread out very well, and therefore it's not a problem. Avol, ba'adam echad asur, but if one person is going to be doing it, he's going to be drawing it very tightly from one pole to the next, and that would be a problem. Omar Abaye, v'kila afilu ba'asora b'nei adam asur. With regard to a bed canopy, even if 10 people are setting it up, it will be prohibited. It's impossible to avoid it being spread or drawn tautly a little bit. Rashi, on this piece of Gemara, indicates his hesitation as to what the problem is. Rashi Dibur Masil Ba'odem Echad Mimsach Le Shapir, he would draw it very tautly. Shemoscho Al Yosei Zu VeKoshro Bo, he would draw the string or the cord, the rope attached to the skin bottle, and attach it to one pole and tie it there. the Choser Umoscho al Zu v'Koshro, and the next one on the next pole. Kach Pirshu Rabosai v'chei Motzot Shuvas Hagoyinim, the Eini Yodea Mahu. And Rashi says, I don't know what it is. It seems that he's indicating, I don't know what the problem is as far as Shabbos is concerned. But the Gemara nevertheless offers this description, so we're getting some feeling of what is going on. We continue in the Gemara. Idoch Mahi, what's the other Shabbos point? And as we saw before, Rami Bar Yecheskel wanted Rav Huna to send two points that Rav mentioned regarding Shabbos. So what's the second one? The Sanya. Kira Shinishmita Achas Miachasel. A Kira is a type of oven that one of its legs slipped out of place. Mutar Litaltala. The Kira missing one leg is still a kli, it's still a vessel, and hence it is mutter to move it on Shabbos. Shtayim, also, if it's missing two legs, it will be prohibited. Because if it's missing two legs, it becomes dysfunctional. Rav Omar, afilu chad nami osir. Rav is going further than this source and says that even if one leg is missing, it will be prohibited to move the kira. And why? Gzeira shema yiska. We're afraid that he might reattach the leg in a firm fashion. Yiska is to bang it into place, and doing that is a problem of bone, as Rashi says. The Rashi Shemo Yiska, let's read this together. Kishemechaber lo haregel, when he attaches it, Yiskeeno b'chozek v'avei bone. Aval hecha de lo nishmita elo achas. If only one had slipped out, lo chayesh lemiska kulihai. We're not so concerned. It would appear that Rashi here is explaining the position that was found in the Braisa, and that's what the that which is in the brackets, the Tanakama comment in Rashi would seem to indicate, because Rav himself, with regard to one leg, is also strict. The Gemara continues. Torah, the point that Rav had made regarding Torah, the Omar Rav Asida. Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. In the future, Torah will be forgotten from Israel. This will be explained quite a bit more as we go on in the Gemara. In the meantime, it sounds very dramatic. It says the Torah will be forgotten from Israel. Shenemar. It says regarding the Torah, v'hiflo Hashem es makoischa. This pasuk is in the Toichacha, and the curses found in Sefer Dvarim, and that's what it says. V'hiflo Hashem es makoischa. The haflaw zu eini yodea ma. I don't know what the hiflaw means. Haflaw zu, I don't know what haflaw is. Kishu omer, when the pasuk says in Yeshaya, the following pasuk, which uses the word haflaw in it, we'll be able to tie it in to Torah. The pasuk says, Lochein hinini yosif lahafli es ha'om azeh, hafle vofela. And between the lines, we've written the continuation of the pasuk, v'ovda chochmas chachomov. And as a result of this haflo vofela, there will be a loss of wisdom from the wise men, ubinas nevonov tistater. And any form of bina, another form of wisdom, will be hidden. So now I have a pasuk where the word hafle or haflo appears. Havei omer haflo zu Torah. So I see that haflo is a reference to Torah. And therefore the pasuk in Dvarim, which says, I will afflict you, it means I will afflict you with the loss, the forgetting of Torah. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that lasts a number of lines, and we continue with this topic that we, on the side of our Gemara, had mentioned, have written, Im be'osid Torah tishtakach me'Yisrael. The question is, will it be that the Torah will be forgotten? So the source says, Kishenichnesu Rabosenu leKerem BiYavne Omru, when the Chachomim assembled in the Kerem BiYavne Kerem is a vineyard. A vineyard is a location where there are rows and rows of vines set up. So a yeshiva assembly where Torah is studied, people are set up in rows and rows. So hence the analogy to a vineyard. So when the Rabbonin assembled in Yavne was a seat of Torah study. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah center moved from Yerushalayim to the city of Yavne. So when they gathered in Yavne, Omru, Asido Torah, Shetishtakach Mishrael. In the future, Torah will be forgotten from Israel. Shinemar, another pasuk is quoted, Hine Yomim Boim, Num Hashem Elokim. Days are coming, says Hashem, Vishlachti, Rav Boretz. I will cause famine in the land, Lo Rav Lechem Elotzom Elamayim. Not a famine for bread, nor thirst for water. Kim Lishmoez Devrei Hashem. A famine and thirst for Torah, indicating a situation where there is the absence of Torah. People are seeking it out. Uksiv no mayim agyam umitzofon v'ad mizroch yishotu to levakish es dvar Hashem v'loim tzo. Pasuk describes a great deal of movement of people in all directions to seek out the word of Hashem, and they won't find it. Dvar Hashem that was featured in this pasuk. Zu halacha. Dvar Hashem ze haketz. That's a reference to the end of days. Dvar Hashem zu nevua. And the term Dvar Hashem also is a reference to prophecy. You'll notice we have a bracketed section. The bracket length indicator appears to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, taking you down to three lines from the bottom. The purpose of these brackets is explained on the side. Sograyim l'shem dilug. We will initially skip the bracketed section. Kedei liros miyat teguvasu shel Rav Shimon bar Yochai l'mashikotoni asidu Torah shetishtach Yisrael, to see Rav Shimon bar Yochai's response to that which we just said in the source we completed, or the section of the source we completed that said the Torah will be forgotten. Notice the dashed underlining just a few lines above this in the Gemara. We skip to three lines from the bottom. Tanya, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Chas v'Shalom shetishtakach Torah Mishrael. Heaven forbid that Torah will be forgotten. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk to back up his point. So what we've done is we have the beginning of a Tanaic source that says Torah will be forgotten, and then you see Rav Shimon bar Yochai's response indicating it will not be forgotten. Now that we know the structure, let's go over the bracketed section. Umay yeshotetu levakesh es devar Hashem. The pasuk we read from Amos Perikhes indicates that the people will be wandering from place to place to seek out halacha, seek out the word of Hashem. What do you mean? What are they seeking out? So we have triangles that appear, and under our note on the side, we call the tatnose a subtopic, and mivneh the structure. The triangle is featured. Shlovim, these are stages. The birur, aposuk, yishotetu levakesh es devar Hashem. We're going to try to explain that posuk. Shemitayer matzav shel e yidia beinyan tumah. This describes some type of ignorance in the realm of ritual purity, the realm of tumah. There are stages till we get to finding out what is it that people won't know. So let's see the Gemara. Omru, they said, Asido isho shikito kiko shel tumah. In the future, a woman will take a loaf of truma. Truma is the tithe that one gives to kohanim. So if a loaf of bread, let's say, was made out of truma wheat, she'll take the loaf, v'tachsu b'bote kinesis v'bote midrashus leida im tmea hi v'im tahura hi v'ein mevin. She'll take this loaf of bread after having come into contact with some truma producing substance, and she'll ask, is this bread tomei or not? The Gemara says in response, that cannot be the case. That's not what is going to be in doubt. Im tahorahi, im tamayahi. She's going to ask, is it tohor or tamay after having come into contact, let's say, with a dead sheretz? Behedyoksiv bay. It says explicitly, mikola oichel asher yeochel. Now Rashi says, behedyoksiv torah shebiksav areik suvu menachas ikru viru. Information that's found in the written Torah, that is not what we are talking about whatsoever. It's there. The Torah is there. Just pick it up and read it. So that's not what is going to be forgotten. The question of, is Truma subject to Tuma or not? Ella. So what is it that she won't know? Leida im rishonahi v'im shniyahi v'ein mevin. She's not going to know whether the level, what the level of Tuma is that affects her bread. Is it a Rishon level or a lighter level, a Shani level of Tuma? The Gemara says, well, Ha Nami Masnisen He. That too is not something that's going to be forgotten. That's a clear source. Kidisnan, Hasheretz Shinimtza B'Tanur. If you had a dead Sheretz in the airspace of a Tanur, Hapas Shebesocho Shnia. Bread that's baked in a Tanur with a Sheretz. The bread is a second level Tuma. Shat Tanur Trila. The Tanur becomes a first level Tuma. The Sheretz is an Av HaTuma. And the Av HaTuma, primary level of Tuma, communicates its Tuma to the oven. The oven becoming a Rishon. And the bread that is baked in the oven becomes a Shani. So that's obvious information. What is it then that the woman is not going to know? Mistapka lahu, what will be in doubt, ha di omar le rav ado bar avo le rava. What they're not going to be sure of is reflected by Rav Ado's question to Rava. Lechsi hai tanuro kemande moli tumo v'tehev a pas rishona. If you have a piece of a bread, a loaf of bread in an oven, while a sheretz is dangling in the airspace, Rav Ada says, why not consider the sheretz as filling the entire oven with its tuma, which would then mean that the sheretz is that which directly affects the bread. And that, if that were the case, then the bread would be a rishon, a higher level of tuma. Omar le, and Rava says to Rav Ado, Lo amrinon, we do not say lechsi hai tanur kemande moli tuma. We don't view the tanur as being filled with tuma, but rather we say that the sheretz in the airspace of the tanur has a focused ray, so to speak, if you want to use some imagery, a focused ray of tuma that hits the tanur itself, and then the tanur, after it becomes a rishon, it radiates its rishon Tuma outwards to that which is inside the Tanur, making those things a Shani. The Sanya, the following source illustrates this point. By way of introduction, though, to the source, let us explain that in the realm of Tuma, people and vessels, Kalim, can become a Rishon Letuman. What we're saying now is strictly on a Torah level. There are many stringencies in the realm of rabbinic law, which we won't get into here. But on a Torah level, only an Av HaTuma can affect people and vessels. If something is a Rishon level of Tuma, it doesn't have enough strength in it to communicate Tuma to people and vessels. So, with that background in mind, we continue. Desanya, yochel yu kol hakelim mitamin ba'avir kli cheres. Kli cheres is a clay vessel, and the rule concerning clay vessels is that if the clay vessel is tome, so things that are in its airspace will become tome. So if you have a clay vessel and in which a sheretz had been present, say the sheretz had been dangling in a clay vessel, And you have other vessels inside the clay, the outer clay vessel. Will those vessels that are in the interior of the kli cheres become tomei? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Kol asher besocho yitmo mikol ochel asher yeochel. The Pasuk says, all food that's in the interior of the clay vessel becomes tomei. Oichlinu mashkin mitamin ba'avir kli cheres. Food and drink become tomei in the airspace of a clay vessel. The ein kelim mitamin ba'avir kli cheres. Vessels do not become tomei when they're in the airspace of a kli cheres. Therefore, if you had a sheretz dangling in the airspace of a kli cheres, and you had vessels there, those vessels will not become tomei. What does that show us? It shows us that the source of tumah in the interior of the kli cheres is not the sheretz, or in other words, the sheretz is not filling with its tumah, it's not filling the kli cheres, because if that were the case, the sheretz is an apa tumah, the vessels would have become tomei, but they don't. So what does that lead us to say? That the sheretz directs its tumah immediately to the kli cheres itself, not filling the airspace, but as we said, in a directed, concentrated ray fashion to the kli cheres, and then the tumah fills the airspace coming from the tanur, not from the sheretz. Hence, we understand why the vessels in the interior of the kli cheres did not become tomei. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Chas v'sholom shetishtakach Torah Mitzvos. We said before, Rabbi Shimon Yochai is a response to that which we saw earlier. He says, heaven forbid the Torah would be forgotten from Israel. Shenema ki lo zishkach mipi zaro. The Torah will not be forgotten, the Pasuk says. Elomani mekayim shotu levakesh es devar Hashem v'leim tzo. So then what is meant by people will seek out the word of Hashem and they won't find it? Shelo yinsu halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makayim echad. Rashi says very simply that there won't be points of halacha that will exist without controversy. Rashi at the top says, halacha brura b'ta'amim shelo yeh bo machlokis. There won't be halachas that will be clear and universally and their explanations universally accepted, but rather when you get to the explanation level of halachas, you will find controversy. And that is what the Pasuk is referring to, that time in the future, and those of us who are learning Gemara will certainly be able to appreciate that phenomenon of how many things are taught, and there is this, we'll call it this lack of clarity as a result of machloikism. But nevertheless, even with that state of affairs, we still have Torah, and we are, Baruch Hashem, learning it, and it continues to this very day, and that will not be forgotten. With that, we conclude the shiur for today.